Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Very newsy day as it relates to matters of professional sports here in North Carolina between the Carolina Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Although, Lauren, I feel like one is bigger than the other.
Depends on which kind of big you mean.
That's a good point. So let's actually start locally with the Carolina Hurricanes, where after what felt like had been weeks and weeks and weeks of speculation and then no actual news coming out of it, and it's almost done. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times Sarah Sivian of The Athletic was asked this question, or we've talked to Abby Labar about it, or Mike Maniscalco. When are they going to get this Andrei Svechnikov deal?
When are they going to make Svech happen?
And they finally did today. He signed a max-term deal. It's going to pay him roughly $7.75 million on average over the life of the contract through 2028-29. Eight more years for Andrei Svechnikov. Good for him. Good for the Carolina Hurricanes. Depending on how you want to look at it,
yeah,
a surprisingly
low
team-friendly deal.
I know. I was a little bit I was surprised. I will not lie. I was a little surprised.
Well, I will say this. I was actually talking to somebody with the Canes about this today, saying shout out to Andrei Svechnikov for having some disappearing acts, if you will, during crucial times to drive his own price down.
Yeah, I was going to say that during the playoffs, he was not nearly as visible in a good way as he has been in past playoff runs or in general.
Here's Andrei Svechnikov in a Zoom earlier today on the eight-year deal he just signed with the Canes.
It's actually an easy decision for me. You know, I want to be eight years to play in Carolina. You know, I want to be a Hurricane. And, you know, we got a great team here, great coaches. I thought we can win last year, but we didn't. And, you know, it was a little bit frustrated, but I thought it was us or Tampa, you know, and if we would win Tampa in the playoffs, we would go farther. So, and like I said, we got a great team, great coaches, and, you know, we got to make it happen.
That was Andrei Svechnikov earlier today on a Zoom teleconference after the Canes announced that he signed an extension. He was a restricted free agent going into the season or going into the offseason. There was some speculation that he would do some sort of bridge deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at it from a player-friendly perspective, a bridge deal wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, because if you take a chance on yourself and
right,
you overcome whatever it was pressure you had put on yourself the last season and a half, then you can really cash out. Instead, he went for the long-term deal, which is understandable, makes it a little bit more team-friendly, because if he does become the player that many people believe he is capable of being, then this turns out to be a really great contract for the Canes. Here's Don Waddell, president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, on everybody being on the same page.
From day one when we started, we've always been talking about a long-term deal. You know, so that was the good part, that we were both on the same page of finding the right number for 8 years. So we had great discussions for the last we've been talking for a few months, but the last 3 weeks, probably almost daily. I think Mark was tired of hearing from me, but we're very pleased. Obviously, Andre is one of our key players, and moving forward is going to become even a bigger role. So we're excited about it. And you know, it's also nice because, you know, our owner, Tom Dunnan, was very supportive of the deal. Obviously, it's a lot of money, but the commit. But we all felt it was a very worthy investment.
That was Don Waddell, president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, on this eight-year contract for Andrei Svechnikov. I mean, I don't know if this necessarily sends a message to the fans that they're committed to winning or whatever it is.
Right.
If it's still somewhat team-friendly, I could see why Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, wasn't all that pressed on signing this deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, too, when they don't re-sign Dougie Hamilton, you couldn't not re-sign both of those guys, right? Like, that just could not happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you're freeing up cap space because you're because you're not going to sign Dougie Hamilton. Or
right.
if you're going to play a little bit of a shell game with who you're bringing on as goalie, well, what were you going to use this money for?
Right. Exactly. You better use it for this. So, mm-hmm. And they'll still have plenty left over.
One other note from today's press availability with Don Waddell and Andrei Svechnikov. Waddell was asked about the Tony DeAngelo signing. Things have kind of died down. And that's, I mean, people, it's how the news cycle works. People
yep.
people are going to be upset for a while. They're going to let that be known. They didn't like the Tony DeAngelo signing for a variety of reasons that I don't really care to rehash right now. Waddell was asked about that. And here, his response I found curious.
I think everything's gone fairly well since the initial announcement. You know, people, you know, judgment, obviously, of what people had heard and all that is one thing. But then when they start hearing how we dealt with it, how we did our homework, how we talked to teammates, how we talked to coaches. And then I think, you know, also how the media, how Tony handled himself with the media at his press conference. You know, there's certainly a few people that weren't thrilled with it. But, I'll be honest, we had a yard sale here 2 weeks ago on a Saturday where we had 3,000 people here, and I never heard one thing about it. So I believe we're by that, and hopefully Tony will be here in town soon and get back to just playing hockey.
I mean, no offense to Don. I'm sure that he has heard things from fans at times during
yes.
said yard sales mm-hmm. or whatever, but I don't really know that that's like the gauge.
No. People were there at that year. I actually tried to go to that yard sale until yeah. I saw the line, and then we continued to drive on. The yard sale, by the way, if you're not familiar with it, the Canes do this every year. They basically just get rid of a bunch of stuff, equipment, gear that they can no longer sell at a normal retail price.
Right.
Like if you really want to find a backlog of, I don't know, like Tuomo Ruutu nameplates, you probably can find that at the yard sale. Like these are just things they have to get rid of, right? Like the 3,000 people that showed up ain't there to talk hockey with you. They're there to get a deal.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to use that as a gauge.
Like I can't imagine someone just going up to him at that thing and being like, hey.
It's also obtuse to say once people heard about the homework we did.
No, that's not.
No. You didn't really do a lot of homework or how Tony DeAngelo handled himself with the media. He did one Zoom teleconference where he said, yeah, I'm working on things. We don't quite know what he's working on or what he's done to get to a quote-unquote better place or learn about things.
Really, probably people who did him more favors were people they signed afterwards, and I felt badly for some of them because it almost felt like a deflection, you know?
Yeah,
like a guy like Ethan Bear, who's all around a really good dude, and you know, they've all said positive things about him, too. I mean, if anything, that probably did more damage control.
Look, I like Don Waddell. They know this, but when it comes to these kind of matters, like, y'all, like, let's not try to act like there isn't
right.
some still issue. Or don't sit here and try to tell me with a straight face, well, you know, people are satisfied with the fact that we did our homework. I'm not quite sure what homework you did exactly. It hasn't exactly been laid out. It's not like I haven't paid attention to what y'all said in the Zoom teleconferences and all that stuff. So let's just say that, how about if we just put it in the more honest way? Yeah, when the news hit, people were mad. And like all things, the news cycle moves on.
Right, it died down.
And then when the season comes around, and if Tony DeAngelo doesn't do anything dumb, then people won't bring it up again.
Pretty much.
How the real world works.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess
there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on him. And if he does anything even marginal,
yep.
it's going to be a thing.
This ain't complicated, folks.
Nope.
This ain't complicated. College football's back in a big way. 99.9 The Fan's got tickets for some of the best football of the season. Every single weekday starting Monday, listen to score free tickets to go see NC State, North Carolina, Duke, and ECU, and a $25 gift card to Smithfield's Chicken and Barbecue. Plus, all winners qualify for a bucket list flyaway and tickets to one of the most anticipated games of the season. A trip for two to South Bend to watch Carolina take on Notre Dame October 30th. Need to, got to. 99.9 The Fan brings you that along with Ting Internet. Fiber connects us all. Now, I don't know if I put this on the same level of the Carolina Hurricanes extending Andrei Svechnikov's deal, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Average life or average salary is going to be 7.75 over the course of this deal through 2028-29. I don't know if I put it quite at the same level, but it's close to it, Lauren. The Carolina Panthers traded for a kicker today. Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm happy about it. And you know it takes a lot to make me happy when the Panthers make a move.
Panthers announced they traded a conditional 7th-round pick to the New York Giants for kicker Ryan Santoso. Fun fact, Santoso is the guy who was backing up Graham Gano, who the Panthers cut last year in favor of Joey Sly, who currently has the kicker yips, and why they have to bring in Ryan Santoso on a deal. Santoso hasn't really done much in the NFL. He's only played in three games with the Titans back in 2019.
Okay.
He did not try any field goals or point afters.
What? Wait, why?
They didn't score?
Don't know.
Those are the three games he in. Not a field goal, no PATs. He did have some touchbacks, though.
So maybe he's a kickoff guy.
Of his 16 kickoffs, he had touchbacks. Now,
he's
also a big boy.
Yeah.
He's 6'5", 260.
A thicker. Thick with two C's.
Rallo.
I'm just saying. And that's my kind of kicker.
That's your type?
Yeah. Yes.
Thick kickers?
Kickers and punters. Although the punter doesn't quite have as fun a nickname. You know?
Look, man, I wasn't expecting on August 26th to be wrapped up in the Carolina Panthers kicking situation, but here we are, and it'll probably be the most interesting aspect of their preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow,
because
I'm not quite sure what you're going to be able to tell from Sam Darnold when he's going up against the Pittsburgh's twos and threes in a preseason game.
I mean, I can say that I thought we might be here on September 26th with a kicker, but definitely not August.
Panthers had Harrison Butker, pretty good kicker, moved on. They had Graham Gano.
I wanted them to keep Butker, by the way, when he was there. I was on record as saying that, was I not?
You were.
Hi, yes.
You were. So they got the next best thing, the guy who was backing up Graham Gano instead. So the Carolina Hurricanes finally did the thing. I'm sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting. You have all this money. What are you going to do with this money? You're going to finally sign Andrei Svechnikov? Well, today they finally did it. Max term, 8 years. And the average value of the contract is going to be $7.75 per year. Sarah Sivian of The Athletic covers the Carolina Hurricanes, joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Siv, what up?
Nothing. It seems like the Canes need a Kraft vodka now, am I right?
Yeah, now we go. There we go. All right, so are you happy that you no longer have to be asked the question, what's up with Svechnikov?
No, because I've been here long enough to know it's just going to be the next thing. So what's going to be the next thing? I don't know who's up for a contract. It's going to be they're not going to sign them. So
all right, so
I'm temporarily relieved.
No, let's do it. Let's just go. Let's. I'm all about advancement
who is
theory,
next?
Sarah.
Who's next?
Let's go, Marty Natchez. When are they going to when are they going to knock that out?
Yeah. Offer sheet. Just set on it.
All right, so do you feel like this ended up being a relatively team-friendly deal over the next 8 years?
Yeah, I mean, you can guarantee the cap's going to rise in the next 8 years, probably by a lot. It was supposed to before the pandemic, too, so that's a fair bet. And then you kind of look around the league, and you look at Svechnikov is only 21, and he hasn't even reached his prime, and I think it's a great deal, especially when you look at the rest of the Hurricanes' first line. You can see, obviously, that's been their priority. I feel like it shifted a little from maybe being defense first, and now they have that star first line.
Sarah Sivian of The Athletic joining us here on the OG alongside Lauren Brownlow. I'm Joe Ovius. All right, so with the 8 years, I guess, if you look away from the economics of it all, if you're Svechnikov, and given the struggles you had last year, is this a little bit of a weight off his shoulder? I mean, you said it. He's 21. They believe in his ability. Otherwise, they would not sign him to this max deal or max term deal. So do you think this might kind of be the thing that lifts Svechnikov and we can see that next step taken?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we can debate if there were struggles or growing pains when you're 21 and it's a kind of pandemic. I feel like I don't want to undervalue how hard it must have been to play during that, especially when you're young, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just, it's obviously like a mutual vote of confidence that these both sides believe in each other, that Svechnikov can be the star and the Canes want him to be that guy really badly. And I feel like as long as he's with Brind'Amour, that's just going to happen.
Does this earn some goodwill as well for, you know, ownership / management that they are willing to spend money to keep people around? I know Waddell talked about that, but, you know.
I mean, Tom Dundon just adores this kid. From probably the first conversation I ever had with Tom Dundon, it was just, we're going to sign Andre for life. Like, no matter what, he's like, he said to me, he's going to pull out the wallet for Andre. So he doesn't really say that if you know him. So it's just kind of like, he just adores Andre, not just because of the way that he plays, but also his character. It's just kind of like a no brainer.
Oh, wow. Do they like hang out? I need to see this sitcom somehow, this reality show, maybe.
Oh my God, a buddy cop reality show.
Yes. Fetch and Dundon.
Put
out on the town.
That is premium content on Kane on the Carolina Hurricanes website. I would certainly pay for that.
I would pay for it.
So, cap space. I think Don Waddell, president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, alluded to this earlier today. I guess he's talking about flexibility or any other kind of move. That what is their plan going forward now that this has been knocked out, and how they are looking at the cap going into next season?
Yeah, I could see. I mean, I feel like it puts them in a decent position so they could not sign a player just like cold, but like a trade, and then they could have some breathing room with cap space. I think maybe like a cap strap team might trade a top six forward. I could see that happening. I could also see them standing pat. I guess they have, now that they have Svechnikov signed, I feel like it's kind of a relief to see what their options are. And I don't know if there are many options in the top six right now, to be honest with you, that I love. I don't really like trading for Tarasenko, if you ask me, but we'll just have to see. I think it's a possibility.
Sarah Sivian, The Athletic, covers the Carolina Hurricanes. Andrei Svechnikov signed today. We appreciate your time. Get back to work.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, I know. I finished my story. Bye, guys.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network, ESPN, joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Roddy, what's up, man?
Ovius, Lauren, I hope you guys are doing well. It's always good to catch up.
I hope you're resting up, because with your new football assignments, including Thursday night college games, are you going to have time to do anything else?
Probably not, but, you know, we all talk about wanting to do more, so when it actually happens, you can't really complain. You just got to put your head down and do it. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm like,
all right,
give me more, and then they do. And I'm like, oh, man, that's a lot. But okay, we'll do it.
Here we are. So we got week zero on Saturday, but I think most of us in the area are looking forward to next Friday with Virginia Tech and North Carolina. Look, I think a lot of people are bullish on the Heels for obvious reasons. People love Mack Brown. They see Sam Hell taking that next step. He could be a Heisman Trophy candidate. But the closer we get to this game, I think it's been interesting, Roddy, because I think we talked about this in Charlotte for ACC kickoff. More and more people are coming around to, and who knows, maybe it's like the week of fretting. This Hokie game might be tricky for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, and look, it's one of those games that it's Lane Stadium. It's on a Friday night. It's the first game back from COVID, so I'm guessing they're going to have 100% capacity. And this is a team in North Carolina that's replacing some really important pieces. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to be good, but I think it's naive to think that it may not take some time for them to be as good as they were last year, at least offensively. So then the hope is defensively that they've gotten better enough in the offseason to cover for some of that. And that may be the case, but I think you're discounting too that Virginia Tech has also had an opportunity to get better. And that I think this Virginia Tech team actually has a pretty decent shot of being pretty good. And they've got an offensive line that looks like it's going to be really solid. Defensively, they can't be worse. I mean, they just threw out so much on that defense last year in their first year under Justin Hamilton in a COVID year, where then they had COVID issues, injuries on the back end, guys out of position. Last time they played North Carolina, a guy who will start for them at linebacker this week or next week, Alan Tisdale, was playing safety, and that did not go well. So I still pick North Carolina in the game. I don't know what the spread is, but I think it's going to be a pretty close game. These teams usually play it pretty close, to the exception of last year.
I'm a little skewed because I just listened to you on Tape Don't Lie podcast with other friend of the show, Michael Felder, talking running backs. But I wanted to know sort of your thoughts and deeper insight into what replacing Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, what kind of impact do you think that will have on this North Carolina team and offense this year? And I know they bring in Ty Chandler. That's a big addition for them. But I guess what are some potential issues that could crop up, certainly as soon as game one for them without having those guys?
Yeah, well, I kind of sum it up like this. Like, Ty Chandler can come in from the very beginning and be really good and still not be as good as Javonte Williams and Michael Carter were last year. Those guys were ridiculous. And they were a great compliment, not just running the football, but they were a great compliment in the pass game as well in terms of catching passes. Both of them were able to contribute there. And then you had a situation where Michael Carter was always a really good pass blocker. Javonte Williams became much better, but was always very willing. So how does Ty Chandler mm-hmm. affect the pass game? What is he able to do? And if he can do what one of those guys could do, they're still not as good in the backfield because they don't have two guys that can do what both of those guys could do. So I think that the time in the offense, the continuity of the offense, that's kind of the obvious stuff. The stuff that's not just how many guys those guys made miss. I mean, anytime they got to linebacker or safety level, they were making somebody miss and getting extra yards. So even if you block up for 6 yards, those guys are going to get you 20. Does Ty Chandler do that? Maybe he does. I don't know. And then the pass game stuff that I talked about. So I think Ty Chandler is going to be good. He may even be really good. They're not going to be as good in the backfield as they were last year. So how do you overcome that? You look at the receiving core, and that receiving core is young. I think it's very natural to think they're not going to be as good as De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome. Mm-hmm. So then what is Sam Howell and maybe the tight end position and Garrett Walston, what do they have to do to make that offense just as productive as it was? Even if they take a slight step back, they'll still be really good, but that offense really carried them last year.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to sort of ask is, what do you do if you're Phil Longo? Do you try to stay true to who you guys are on offense, or do you just sort of give the ball to Sam and let him try to carry you?
Let him cook.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, I think they're going to stay true to who they are on offense. They're going to try and run the ball, and maybe they don't hit as many big plays as they did a year ago, but you're counting on your senior quarterback to be able to be better more consistently, or excuse me, your junior quarterback, be able to be better more consistently. So whereas you may have had a 3-play drive last year where you only really have to complete one pass, maybe that turns into a 7-play drive this year where you're asking Sam Howell to complete 5 or 6, and he's able to do that. So I think a lot of it's going to fall on his shoulders. The system's the system, and look, that system's been able to produce everywhere they've been. But the last couple stops that we've seen Phil Longo, he's had guys like DK mm-hmm. Metcalf and AJ Brown. He's had guys like De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome. So it's not like Phil Longo has not had a talented group of receivers to work with in his last couple of stops.
Roddy Jones, ESPN, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG alongside Lauren Brownlow. I'm Joe Ovius. And that's why I don't want to say I'm wary of North Carolina's season. I mean, they are poised to have a special season. But if they're going to do it, I almost feel like there's too much pressure on the offense to make that happen. I mean, this is a defense that gave up roughly 6 yards a play last year. They found themselves in overtime games that they had no business being in overtime games. Wake Forest, I think, scored, 53 points on them last year? I mean, I get it was a weird year because of the pandemic. But I feel like this is kind of who they are defensively. And even though they bring back, 83% of their defense, you're still asking a lot to step up so that it's not all on the offense to go back out there again and again.
Yeah, and of course, every team has some young guys that we don't necessarily know about. But in terms of that, like, defensive line, how much better is a guy like Tamon Fox going to be? Good player. But is he the kind of difference maker this year that really boosts your defense? How much better is Reva Hassett going to be? And you will hear no Reva Hassett slander from me. I am a big fan of his. But have we seen the ceiling from guys like that in terms of maturity and physicality? Or can they take a step? Jeremiah Gimmel's another one, like, older player. We've seen a lot of Jeremiah Gimmel. Mm-hmm. How much better does he get? On the back end, I think, is where you see the biggest chance of improvement.
Yes,
because you've got guys like Storm Duck, who's a really talented corner, Kyler McMichael, young player, and obviously Tony Grimes. So I think there is some room for improvement on that defense. I do think that defense will be better. The question is how much, mm-hmm. and can that replace the amount that they lose on the offensive side of the football? So I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination that North Carolina is going to be a bad football team. I do not think that. They're going to be a good football team. But with our expectations, if I told you North Carolina was going to go 9-3 with 3 conference losses, would that be looked at as a success? or a little bit of a disappointment. And I think three conference losses would look like a little bit of
a disappointment to people based on the
expectations coming into this season. And I kind of see them, they may hit 10 wins. I kind of see them more as a safe 9-win team.
Yeah, I tend to be right there too. Okay, so Roddy, we have a lot of good quarterbacks in the ACC this year. It's kind of the year of the quarterbacks. But what running backs are you looking at this year that could sort of surprise us? What running backs do you really like this year in the ACC? Maybe even some under-the-radar ones. Because I feel like last year was so great in terms of running backs, and now it's a little bit barren when it comes to that position and the quarterbacks are taking over.
Yeah, it's a barren from a star power standpoint, but Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech, he's phenomenal. I mean, you talk about a guy that is incredibly explosive. He's massive. I mean, I won't say he's massive, but he's a bigger guy than you think. You know, he kind of surprised you with his size and the way Dalvin Cook did.
Yeah.
You walked out and you were like, oh, Dalvin is all of 6'1 and all of 220 pounds. Okay, and he runs like that. Jahmyr Gibbs is kind of like that to me. He's incredibly explosive. He did a lot in the past game, and I think Georgia Tech is going to do a lot of different stuff with him to get him the football, particularly through the air. And they're going to handle the ball too, but that running back room at Georgia Tech is pretty darn good. I think another guy, Bam Knight, obviously at NC State, a guy that's been super consistent. I really like what he does at the running back position. If you go underrated, I'll go with the leading returning rusher in the ACC from last year. It's Christian Beal-Smith at Wake Forest.
Oh, and yeah.
It seems like everybody kind of forgets that.
Yes, they do.
But Christian Beal-Smith has the most rushing yards returning in the ACC. I think he is going to be an excellent back, especially now that he's not having to split carries with Kenneth Walker. You look at Mateo Durant at Duke, led the returning ACC leader in yards per carry. And then another one, Sean Tucker from Syracuse. I thought Sean Tucker did an excellent job with a subpar offensive line. So if that offensive line's a little bit better, they went to a lot of the stuff that we were talking about with Felder, Lauren, like they went to a lot of zone type running where the offensive line doesn't have to be perfect. Running back presses a hole and gets to choose where he wants to go. Sean Tucker was really good at that as a true freshman. So I'm excited about him. You can go to Pitt, Israel Abanikanda, I think is going to be phenomenal this year. I mean, he is a big, strong, fast running back who had a really excellent spring. So I there's no shortage of running backs that I think can be really good. And I didn't even get to the three at Miami or the couple at Florida State. I just think the star power, they were all young last year.
Yeah.
So now that star power is kind of coming of age. It's going to be overshadowed by the quarterback some, but it's a really talented class of running backs in the league.
Roddy Jones, ESPN ACC Network here on the OG alongside Lauren Brownlow. I'm Joe Ovius. Gilio out today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday. All right, before we say goodbye, I need your, before the season starts, I need you officially on record. What is your boldest prediction in the ACC?
Oh, my boldest prediction in the ACC, that the ACC finishes with multiple top 10 teams at the end of the season.
Whoa.
More than just multiple top 10 teams.
That's Alliance power right there.
Yep. That's what I'm going with. And look, I don't know if it's going to be Miami or North Carolina, but I think one of those teams is probably, if it's Miami, they're certainly not undefeated because of week one.
Alabama, come on.
Exactly. Jeez. But if they lose one more and finish the year 10-2, which I think they're capable of, then I think they're a top 10 team. And if they can't do it, then I think it's because North Carolina beats them and then they slip up somewhere else. And then North Carolina is the team that's in the top 10. So I think that's the one. I don't really have another one that's not negative. I can be a little. I won't be too negative, but that'll be my positive one.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network, ESPN. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
So Cam Newton right now at the New England Patriots is in a re-entry protocol after a misunderstanding related to leaving the New England Patriots facility to go see a doctor.
Yeah.
A misunderstanding with who tests who. And now that he has been out of practice because of this protocol, he's been meeting with the team virtually. Mac Jones has been getting more reps, and Mac Jones has looked pretty good. And now everybody's freaking out that Mac Jones might actually surpass Cam Newton for that week one starting job. Joining us from WEEI in Boston is Courtney Cox. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Courtney. So never a dull moment in New England, right, with the Patriots, whether it's Tom Brady leaving, Cam Newton last year, and now Mac Jones versus Cam Newton.
Yes, no, I mean, it's a constant battle here in New England, trying to get back to that dynasty era that we once loved here in New England. But yeah, it's all about the quarterbacks right now.
So, all right, so what exactly is going on with Cam Newton? Is it really so bad that him being out has given Mac Jones an opportunity to actually tilt the week one starting role in his favor?
So it's been interesting. Bill Belichick has said from kind of day one, Cam is our starter. And I think sometimes media coverage in Boston always wants to read into everything Bill Belichick says or does. And as somebody who's part of that media, I am always like, guys, let's listen to what the guy is saying. And he's constantly saying Cam is our starter. I've said that over and over again. We talked to Bill on Monday. He calls in to WEEI every Monday on the Greg Hill Show. And we asked him, you know, what he looks at when it comes to reps and who the guys are facing as well as their performance. And he said, yeah, it's just as much who they're matched up against as it is how they do in these joint practices or in these games. And Mac Jones has had really, really great days. Today, in fact, was not a great day for him. Cam Newton returned today, and Cam had a better day than Mac. So when you're talking about who they're going up against, if you're going up against the twos and the threes, like Mac Jones has kind of all preseason, Bill Belichick takes that into account when he's going with which guy he wants to go with. So that's been interesting. I think that this whole misunderstanding thing, there has to be more to the story, right? We all work in media. We all know that coaches hold things close to their chest. And Cam had a weird Instagram 2 days ago. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was him on a plane. He was wearing a hat with some handwriting, and he tagged his dad in it. I know his dad lives in Atlanta. Obviously, we don't know anything for fact, but I think that there's more to this story than just he had a doctor's appointment and he left.
Yeah, I'm curious. What do you think it is? Like, is it something where the team is not super happy with him, or is this something that Cam's doing and kind of going off the reservation here? And it's confusing to us as well, because it does seem like there's more here, but I just don't know what the more is.
So Bill Belichick was asked today about it, and he said he didn't go against anything. He didn't break any rules. It was a team-approved trip. So in my mind, that has to go to, okay, maybe he was going to a CVS, a Walgreens, to get his COVID testing while he was away, and that doesn't play right now with NFL guidelines. I think they need to go to specific people, specific places, to make sure that they're in the clear. Obviously, a big topic right now when it comes to Cam Newton is he vaccinated? Is he not vaccinated? So that is another part of this whole equation. But when I think about it, I think that Cam Newton always takes accountability. We know Cam Newton loves his family, and we know that Cam Newton is going to do what he has to do. I don't think Cam Newton wants to jeopardize this job at all. And he's very much in Boston. He's listening to the radio. He's watching TV. He's seeing the newspapers. And that's the headline that everybody's talking about, Mac Jones. And if there are people that really don't want Cam Newton to be the starter in New England anymore, I'm kind of on Cam's side here. But it seems like he did everything he was supposed to do when it comes to getting permission to go to Atlanta to do whatever this doctor's appointment was.
But he's also, and Courtney Cox joining us from WEEI in Boston. Look, I will apologize for Cam Newton most instances, especially when he was here at Carolina. And I was apologizing for him last year in New England with a limited squad, a weird year, and he also dealt with his own COVID issues. But I feel like Bill Belichick is actually saying the quiet part out loud when he talks about availability. And if there's one thing that we understand about these protocols, it's if Cam Newton does not get vaccinated, he's going to find himself in this situation again during the season. And something tells me that Bill Belichick ain't going to ride for that. You got to be available.
Yeah, and I think we talked today a little bit on our show about the fact that if Mac were to win this job and Cam's the backup, would Bill Belichick want his backup not to be vaccinated and to risk if, say, Cam's the starter, he gets hurt, and now you've got another guy who comes down with COVID and is in this crazy protocol in the NFL because he's not vaccinated? It's a confusing and really, really difficult situation, I think, for not just Cam Newton, but all NFL players right now. We talk about it a lot on the show when it comes to if you're vaccinated, if you're not vaccinated, whether it's okay for these reporters when they're at press conferences to be asking, to be writing articles, to give their unsolicited advice to these players. I think in Cam Newton's mind, he's doing what's best for him. And can you really fault a guy? I mean, I hope that he's talking to every doctor that he can to make sure that he's doing what's right for him. I mean, I'm vaccinated and I'm happy to say I'm vaccinated, but it's weird when you're talking about people's health and you're talking about what's best for their body. Whether you believe in this vaccination or not, you got to do what's best for the greater public. And it's a tricky situation, and he's found himself kind of in some hot water, and this is exactly what we didn't want to see happen when it came to Cam Newton going into this season, especially somebody that's rooted for him since he's gotten to New England.
Yeah, it is weird, and that's the thing, too. A lot of us that, when he was here, you know, grew to like him a lot and have rooted for his success since he's been there, and it is frustrating in a sense of just, you know, we feel like COVID kind of derailed his season last year coming down with it, and, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's personal. It's such a personal thing or whatever, but at the same time, it's like, oh, just get it, dude, because you could just mess up your one chance to get back in the league and get yourself back on solid footing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you guys, I mean, practice today, they basically treated it like nothing happened. So he was back into his, you know, starting QB role. He looked better than Mac Jones today. Obviously, yesterday, Mac Jones looked incredible. So the entire New England area was all up in arms.
Oh, of course.
As we always do. It's crazy.
I think I got like an ESPN alert on my phone of his stat line during a practice, which was wild to me.
Yes. I'm telling you, and it's so, the thing that's frustrated me during this preseason is Cam Newton and Mac Jones could have the same exact throw. They could have this unbelievable pass. And if it's Cam Newton, it's wow, what a great catch. If it's Mac Jones, it's wow, what a great throw. And I'm not knocking Mac Jones at all. I mean, I think he's an incredible player, but Bill Belichick doesn't like to start rookie quarterbacks. He just doesn't. So, you know, that is what it is. He's the head coach, and I think that Cam Newton's a starter in week one, and we just keep beating this headline over and over again here because there are a lot of Cam Newton haters in New England.
Oh, indeed.
Oh,
indeed.
They're everywhere. We know.
It's not just New England. Courtney Cox, WEEI. Courtney, appreciate the time. We will talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Kendra now joins us. Hi, Kendra. How are you?
Hey, guys.
So I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here when I say that you do post a lot of Instagram pictures, yes?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
No, I think they're great.
Thank you.
Do you? But the problem with posting a lot of, it's not a problem, it's an unfortunate thing that happens. You post pictures and your DMs tend to fill up. Is this correct?
This is correct.
Okay, so we're going to play a new game with Kendra. You're going to read for us three direct messages you got following something that you've posted.
Yep.
And we have to determine which one of these is made up.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, boy. I'm excited.
About
I have
this.
A feeling this is going to be difficult.
I've been looking forward to this literally the entire show.
All right, Kendra, please.
I feel like Lauren might get this right.
I think I might, you know,
women's intuition. Like, I think she's going to be the one.
I'm going to be disappointed if I don't.
Let's start with DM number one. Potential DM number
one. Okay. Potential DM number one. Hey, do you remember accidentally stumbling tipsy into my apartment? So I responded and said, no, I do not. When was this? And the response was next weekend.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm not sure. I have a sounder after that? Maybe not.
Wow.
All right. That was DM number one.
Okay.
DM number two.
Yeah.
I don't normally do this, but some girl made me fall in love with her and she was using your picture because I needed to tell you because she broke my heart. Do you think we could actually give it a chance so I can get to know the real you?
Wait, excuse me? Can you read that one more time?
I don't normally do this, but some girl made me fall in love with her and she was using your picture. So I just needed to tell you because she broke my heart. Do you think we give it a chance so I can get to know the real you?
So dude was saying he got catfished.
Correct.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. This is
on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And DM number three.
DM number three. Respectfully, how would you like to be my date to a couple of events this weekend? Great way to break the ice is by flying you out to have you as my wedding date. Promise I do not bite, scratch, or claw.
All right, that one's real.
That was exactly the one I was going to say.
That one's real.
That's the real one.
That one is real. That one is real. Okay, that yes! one's real. It's the other two that I'm like, come on.
One of the other two is correct or is real.
I was going to say, oh man.
I'm going to go with it.
I think the first one.
I think the first one to the tipsy one. That one's fake. That one's fake.
That one is fake.
All right.
Oh, I thought that one was real. No, okay, yeah, I got that one wrong.
The catfish one, I believe because I can see that happening.
I can see that happening too, but I could also see some dude using that line.
Also, well, Rand wrote that one down.
Is that some bingo card that you cross off, like the, I don't normally do this, but...
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Because, come on.
The worst part of that one was I went to his Instagram because I was like, okay, this is weird. And he was following, like, multiple Kendras, so I immediately blocked him. I was like, okay,
what?
That's weird. I'm not sure if he's got a weird Kendra thing or if this actually happened, but was trying to find a Kendra, but I blocked him immediately.
Whoa. That's right. Very strange.
Kendra.
Wild, right?
Keep doing you. Keep posting pics.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Next week.
Did you go to the wedding?
I didn't go to the wedding.
I mean, I'm just checking. I figured
it was
probably
too cold.
It's too cold that time. I mean, it was a free flight, and, you know, right?
Yeah, and, you know, a stranger.
Yeah, you know, and like maybe a few FaceTimes first or something.
Make sure you're not a murderer.
Exactly.
He
said
he doesn't scratch, guys. I don't know what the big deal is.
Scratch, bite, or claw.
Yeah.
Take word for him.
Gross.
All right, so 3 DMs, 1 fake. I got the fake one correct. Kendra, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, we've had several Svetch songons dedicated to Andrei Svechnikov. We've had Bringing Svechy Back. We've had I Wanna Svech You Up in our all for one, you know, trio we did. But today we're doing Ray J because why not? And Svechy, can I?
Oh, jeez.
Svechy, can I call you the man? I see you long term, got a deal like, oh, gotta throw a party, let's go get Marty. All I wanna know is, Svechy, can I? Svechy, can I keep you for 8 years? Gotta keep you here, can't be more clear. Take us to the playoffs, then to the cup. PNC's got room, raise that banner on up. Svechy, can I call you the man? I see you long term, got a deal like, oh.
This is a Ray J week. I'm just kidding. That was it. I think we're getting close to exhausting all of our Svechy songs, so we've got 8 years to do this. So
you've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.